Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Carl Carlson.
You know, Carl, when I first started this, and I suspect our Diane will edit out my false start there, but it was like, how do you talk about what's a good leader in today's world, in our world of reliability engineering, when we've got so many variations and teams are scattered all over the world? What constitutes a good leader? And I'm going to say a good reliability leader.
Wonderful subject. I have some background in this because in a previous career prior to consulting, I was a manager at a
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And fortunately, the leadership in the company that I worked for understood the difference between being a manager and being a true leader. And so they sent us to leadership school and some really good trainers on what the difference is and what the essence of leading is versus the essence of managing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it is a fun topic, Fred. I suspect everyone that is listening to this has, some people might be involved just in reliability engineering without a leadership position recognized. But as we've pointed out over and over, you have to influence people. And so there's leadership involved in every position, no matter what it is. It doesn't mean you have to be high on an organization chart.
That's right. And, you know, we talk about it is if you're going to put together a reliability plan, and you're working with a team that's developing a new widget, and you're tasked with, well, help us make sure it's reliable. And we talk about you have to go talk to people. What are the key decisions? What are the key things that we need to know? What are the elements that are on people's minds that need to be informed so they can make good decisions? And we outline that a great deal. Now, recognize, though, that all of that means that you're interacting with other people. Managing would be, I'm going to go pull out an old document and dust off the top of it, change the date and a new product, and that's our plan. We'll just do what we did before. I now have checked the box. I've got a plan, independent of whether it'll work or not, or actually be useful. Where a leadership person would say, the objective is to make a reliable product, or, you know, improve the efficiency of our system, or increase uptime of our line, whatever the vision or the objective is, and then go figure out what are the barriers, what are the things that need to be removed or understood or answered so that we can get there. And a leader then says, all right, I'm going to go break the trail. You know, I'm thinking of that there's somebody out front, you know, with machete. I'm thinking of the old jungle movies with the machete cutting the vines out of the way. It doesn't have to be the general manager or the director of engineering. It can be you. And you lead the way saying, this is how you make a reliable product. And these are the steps we need to do because this is the information that you need. And I emphasize that you're working with lots of other people in your team in order to effectively understand what they need so that you can help them make better decisions. And it's a long way of saying influencing them to create a good product. But it's writing and talking and presenting and listening and all these other skills coupled with our technical knowledge of what are all these methods and which ones would be effective for what we're trying to accomplish. Do I need to run a test or do I need to run a simulation? So it's that other part. And one of my students last summer called it leadership skills. And it's what we've been talking about on and off over the years of listening and writing, like we did last episode and so on. Those are leadership skills. But it's also, I think what you're getting at, Carl, it's also different than just straight managing. What's the budget? You know, did these checks clear? Do we have enough staff? Do we have a place to sit? There's a role in management too, yet anybody can be a leader. And I think that's what makes effective reliability engineers or professionals, whether manager or an engineer or even a technician, is that they can take on the leadership role.
Yeah, I would think about what's the essence of leadership, and because I've seen many types of people over the years that come to work. I've seen some people that come to work and they just sort of show up and they do what they're told to do and they go home.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, that's fine. You can do that. Other people come to work and they say, what needs to be done? They look around and say, okay, where are we supposed to go? What's the mission of this department I'm in? Mm-hmm. What are we trying to accomplish? And then they put their attention on that and they get some ideas and maybe some creativity. Maybe if they think about it, as to what can be done. I don't always just do what has been done. How do we accomplish objectives? That's the difference between showing up to work and being a leader. I think a leader, you understand what the mission is of the organization you're working in, or you create the mission, depending on where you are on the organization. And you lead, meaning you move in the direction and move people along with you to accomplish that objective. And so there's an active, proactive energy role in leadership that's different than just going about doing your work.
Right. We're not there just to run the test and publish a report of the results. If they're not used, then they're pretty worthless. So leaders would take it to the next step and say, what do I need to do to make sure that this is actually useful? And we spend a good amount of time saying, well, you need to understand what's the objective is. Why are you doing this test? And why do you even need to do this test, for example? But one of the things I ran into early in my career, I was a shift supervisor. And visiting one of the stations and they're working on this project, or it was a cable product that we were making, and it was being cut into 100 foot or 500 foot reels. And every now and then it was a lump in the jacket, which pretty much made that cable defective. And so it would be cut out, yet we only could sell 100 foot and 500 foot rolls. So if it was cut out at 90 feet, that was all scrap. And that was pretty expensive. And all I did was ask the operators, was like, you know, how often does this happen? And these products, it happens all the time. And we cut out maybe a third of the product goes straight to scrap. And I'm thinking, you know, we are in business to sell this stuff, not scrap it. And it's frustrating to the operator because they know that they need to fill so many reels of this amount and so on for the production order. And it's that, that's a problem. I don't know how to solve this. So I'm going to go find an engineer that did the extrusion for the jacket. I'm going to go talk to the extrusion operators. I'm going to go talk to a couple other friends of mine in another division that runs a similar product. Do they have this problem? And long story short, we solved it collectively. Yet the leadership role I inadvertently took on was corralling the expertise and posing the question to him and saying, is there a way to solve this? All I was curious and took the initiative then to go find people to go help solve that problem. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to write a grand proposal for $200,000 in funding and this great, endeavor and hire 15 people and then you're a leader. No, just be curious, go solve problems. It's the way I look at it.
Exactly. And I would say, no matter what you're doing, you can be a leader. I'll just give it a short story here. Years ago, when I was just took over managing a reliability group, one of the employees was doing an FMEA on a door system. I've shared this story with you, Fred, but you'll see where I'm going in a minute. Mm-hmm. It's not just the story. The manufacturing process for hanging the door it's been going on for years and years, involved a 2x4, and you open the door in the plant, and then you put the 2x4 in between the hinges, and you basically adjust things. You put a certain amount of force on it. And this engineer of mine was leading an FMEA. And he, on his own initiative, had to decide whether or not the requirements for doing this door hanging were appropriate or not. Do they intend to maintain that archaic process?
Mm-hmm.
And is he just trying to make sure that archaic process works well? Or maybe there's something wrong with the archaic process. On his own initiative, he walked into the, call it the mahogany row area, and yeah. Where you got the upper management. He just knocked on a door and said, I know you have responsibility for manufacturing. I'd like to ask you a question. And he talked with that person, and they kind of collectively looked at it and said, you know what? Maybe we should be doing the better process. And so he took that information back to the team, and they reworked their FMEA from that approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the point there is it was individual initiative that made the difference, like skin in the game, so to speak. He felt a personal responsibility to make this the best product it could be, and he was willing to go outside the lines or the box.
The normal channels, I'm using
the normal channels to make it happen. And that, I recognized him there on the spot. I said, that is true leadership.
Yeah.
He didn't have a position on the organization chart that said manager or code level. He just felt the need to accomplish the overall objective and mission and make it a better product.
That's what I think really good reliability engineers do. And we have the double problem. It's not just, you know, it takes time or effort, or it's not as precise as fixing the door hanging process or the engineering to get it to be the right parts or the right size, so that it just goes together without a 2x4 adjustment. That does sound archaic, although I can visualize it. And I've had I know you weren't at Ford, but I got in a brand new Ford that only had like 15 miles on it, and the door wouldn't close. It was so out of alignment. Okay.
Yeah.
Not taking this car off the lot. Mm-hmm. But the idea is it's a bit of curiosity or identifying this is a problem. And it ties back into what you've been talking about, is that you look up, what's the overall objective here, what we're trying to do? And reliability, it might be a combination of the vision where we want to go with our products or systems. And for this particular bicycle model that we're making, we want it to be 98% reliable over 5 years or whatever. It's our current objective. Well, how are we going to get there? Now you have to look up. Reliability engineers cannot create a reliable product on themselves unless you're a one-person shop and you're doing everything to create that product.
Which doesn't happen anymore.
Which doesn't happen anymore. And there's all these other people that have tasks to do this, that, and the other pieces of this. And that's where we start to listen, to talk, to present, to write, to use that initiative to say, all right, here's where the trouble spots are. We're not the only one that knows where those are. Lots of other people do. Take the initiative to go talk to other people, because what our role to be really good at it is to help them do a better job. I don't think we can phrase it any simpler than that. If they need to know the difference between vendor A, vendor B for its durability, we can answer that. We've got the tools and techniques to do that. If we don't know they need that information, we're not doing our job, is kind of my point.
So let me talk a minute about culture. There are, let's say, company A, company B. Company A has a great culture of we want to hear from people. We want to get the job done, whatever mm-hmm. we have. Company B has a culture of do things by only by certain age-old rules, stay within your lanes.
Mm-hmm.
In Company B, you'll hear very often, and I'm talking from experience here, companies that I've worked with on the consulting part of my career, not my job. We got the problem. That's not my job. Someone else needs to take care of that. So you hear that a lot in the Company B. Company A, you got a problem. What do we do to fix it? And no one says, not my job.
Yeah. And they say, oh, that is important. And yeah, that's worth fixing. How can I help?
you know? And so there's a culture. And the problem is, Fred, some people sort of mimic or absorb the culture. So you go to work in a company that's Company B and is a little stodgy and do things by the age-old rules, don't step out of your lane. It's a little too easy to fall into that. And I would... I would try to reach people here and in talking in this podcast and say, if you're in that company, show some leadership. It may feel unnatural, but it's worth it. And you'll eventually get recognized for that. And it's doing the right thing. And if you can't do the right thing because of the culture and the right thing isn't getting done, then it might be time to look for a different position. That's yeah. My comment.
Well, I had one, I'm laughing because I had a boss that was like, no, you need to come through me for all these ideas. You can't just go talk to people in other departments and stuff like that. All right.
Yeah.
So every morning I sent him like 30 messages, trying to get him to line up these meetings and do his job. If you want me to go through you, then you need to do this, 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 this. And finally he said, I can't manage you. And the director said, yeah, Fred, you can do, she didn't say it, you're unmanageable. I think that's what she's thinking. You're going to be self-managed. You and this other engineer, we're going to make you guys a self-managed team because you're just moving too fast. And she recognized that I was trying to do the right thing, where my boss was trying to manage and understand what in the world I was going after and doing and stuff. And he had to feel like he had to approve it all, but he didn't want to spend the time to understand any of it. And he didn't have the bigger picture in mind. And so it was, yeah, you get in the stodgy one. You can pester them enough until they, either do their job and make those things happen and cross borders, or they get out of the way. I went the other route rather than find a new job.
Yeah,
it worked out pretty well.
When my first year at a particular job that I had early on in my career, I got the annual reviews, that kind of thing, which mm-hmm. I frankly think is a little bit, it's important and it does get done. I don't mean to diminish it, but really feedback should be ongoing. It shouldn't be, we'll hold that comment for the annual review.
Mm-hmm.
Best feedback should be almost as close to immediate as possible. Right. But I was in my annual review and my boss was explaining to me some of the good points he saw about me. And he said, yes, but Carl, you're a little bit you're trying to get too much done. You're crossing. Some people could get upset if you're going around to get things and speaking up and that kind of thing. So maybe you just need to settle back a little bit. And that was, I understood what they're trying to say, which was, don't be a leader.
Don't rock the boat.
That's a message. and that was the message that I got.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay in that position very long. I will say that.
Yeah.
One comment I'll make on leadership is keeping, not all the time, it doesn't have to be fixed in front of you everywhere, but the big picture is you have to be able to see what the picture is, where you're headed. What mountain are you trying to climb? And if you're not seeing it clearly, talk to your management, talk to your leadership, and get that crystal clear in your mind as to where is your unit headed, where should you be headed. Make sure you know, not just what are you supposed to do, but where's the company headed? What are we trying to accomplish as an objective? What's our mission?
Well, what comes to mind immediately with that, and I know I've told the story a number of times. This procurement engineer came over to my desk one day and asked, you know, says, "Are you Fred?" And I says, "Yes." And he says, "My boss said I have to come talk to you." All right. Okay. I'm thinking, like, are you in trouble? and it was basically he had a proposal to save a nickel on some component. And I said, "Well, the only reason you're coming to me is what's the impact to the reliability?" So let's pull out the data sheets. We did some quick calculations. That nickel would cost us $50 per unit shipped in warranty costs. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a cost savings. Isn't your organization supposed to save money? Yes. He says, "Well, warranty is money. We pay that." And he's like, "Well, we don't pay it in our department."
Right.
What's your badge say? You know, it's Hewlett Packard. It's not procurement. It's Hewlett Packard. And if the company doesn't make money, then eventually you're not going to make money here. So let's think about this a little bit differently. Does your boss actually want to lose money on saving a nickel? And it kind of got pale. And I said, "Do you want to tell your boss or should I?" And yeah. So part of it was the leadership part was I knew enough of that bigger picture and what the overall objectives were and understood that part to be able to educate others basically to do it. And apparently this procurement manager knew me well enough that I would bring that home to somebody and show them how to do this other calculation.
So another comment I'll make, if you're a manager or a leader, or you have a position or you have people that report to you, or you're considered to be a leader, there's more that needs to be done, which is you need to make it crystal clear to your group where your group should be headed, what the big picture is, what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And make sure they, each person knows what their role is. Listen to them so you can understand what they want to accomplish and try to align their goals to the mission of your group. And then get out of the way. Don't micromanage what they do. Like, if your people are inspired and know what the mission is, they will do a good job. If they're qualified and you've hired the right people, they will do a good job. They won't do as good a job if you're looking over the shoulder all the time. Yep. And they think they're getting micromanaged. So I think part of leadership is sharing the vision so that everybody knows what it is, and then letting people get on with it, and then giving them feedback as appropriate, education, resources, and support. Remove roadblocks is a strong role of leadership. So you want to be involved in that. But your position is not to push people to get things done as your primary role. Just wanted to share that.
And everything you're saying is what we do is when we're good reliability engineers, we help identify weaknesses in the product, or we understand what people's needs are, and we apply tools and support and information, and we provide education and basically enable other people to get their job done well. And that's leadership. That's what we do. It's that simple.
And I'll leave with this point, which is think about what gets you up in the morning when you go to work. What are you trying to accomplish? Tap into your personal passion. Bring that to work.
Yeah.
Like, it because it shows, it communicates really well. It will guide you. You're not just showing up to work to make a buck.
I thought it was just to get the coffee.
Yes. And so what drives you? What inspires you? What keeps you going, so to speak? Try to find that. And if you can, tap into it and bring that with you to work, because that'll make a big difference, I think.
Yeah, that really does help. There's way more to it, obviously. But the essence is that we have all these skills, technical and soft, communication skills. And that combined with a bit of initiative and curiosity and identifying problems enables you to put the organization together, or the teams together, or the people together that can get things done. And that's what we're talking about. If we want to help this team create a reliable product, it doesn't do us any good to say, hey, you just need to make it reliable. It's not really helpful. But doing all the stuff we talk about of in reliability engineering such that it enables our team to be effectively able to achieve the objective, and it includes all the things you just outlined, Carl, then you're a leader and you're a good reliability engineer in my mind.
Good summary, Fred. If you're a listener here and you'd like to know more about the subject, you have questions, what do you do when? And I've got a lot of questions on this that I've heard from people and that I still have. Bring them to us. Ask the questions. We'll make it part of a future podcast.
And we'll get you an answer right away, too.
We'll get you an answer as well. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, and you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our About pages. And take the initiative, see an opportunity, outline it, get an idea in your head of how you're going to do it. If you have any questions, bounce it off us. That's what we're here for. We love talking about that stuff. And helping you be successful is kind of the underpinning of this whole podcast adventure we've been on for, a decade now, Carl?
At least.
So it's a big part of it. So let us know. We look forward to hearing from you. And thanks so much, Carl. We've learned the hard way over the years, but we've both kind of approached reliability in similar ways in completely different industries. And that's why we wrote a book together.
Absolutely. All right. Nice talking to you, Fred.
Take care, Carl.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.